Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on the gospel text, which is the 9th chapter of the book of John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him to the Pharisees, this man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him about how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? And how then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, or do we know who opened his eyes? Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, though, that I was blind and now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God had spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "What an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Then they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John Wimber, an early leader in the Vineyard Christian Fellowship, said the first time he went to church, he expected dramatic things to happen. After attending for 3 Sundays, he was frustrated. Following service, he approached an official-looking guy and asked him, "When do they do it?" "Do what?" was the reply. Wimber said, "The stuff." Again a question, "What stuff?" To which he replied, "The stuff in the Bible." Again another question, "What do you mean?" "You know, the healing of the sick, the multiplying of the loaves and fish, feeding the hungry, giving sight to the blind, that stuff." Then came the answer, "Oh, we don't do that. We believe in it and we pray about it, but we don't do that." Well, why not? Is it perhaps because we would be challenged to deal with something that is beyond our understanding? In today's gospel, we read that as Jesus was walking along, he came to a beggar blind from birth. Jesus tells his disciples that he is the light of the world, and he proceeds to heal the man's blindness. He gives him sight for the first time in his life. Those who knew the man question, "How can this be that suddenly he can see?" Healings had to be confirmed by the Pharisees, so the town folks take the healed man to the temple. The Pharisees question the man, "Tell us exactly what this man did." The healed man says, "This man came along, he made some mud, he put it on my eyes, and then he told me to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. I did, and now I can see." The Pharisees, being keepers of the sacred law, said, "Aha! Some of them say, this man is not from God because he does not observe the Sabbath. He made mud on the Sabbath. That's like kneading bread, and kneading bread is one of the 39 tasks forbidden to be done on the Sabbath." Breaking a Sabbath law makes the healer a sinner. How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? The Pharisees are now arguing among themselves, so they ask the beggar with the restored sight, "What do you say about him?" They don't understand. They cannot make Jesus fit into their litigious system. So they deflect the issue back onto the uneducated man who spent his life begging on the street corner. Seriously? Well, the only logical answer is that he was not actually blind in the first place. So these learned men go to the man's parents to question whether he was blind at all. And if so, how is it that he can now see? Well, the parents are afraid of the power that these men hold over them in the church and in the community. So they deflect the issue back to their son. "He is of age. Ask him." The Pharisees want answers. This does not make sense. It does not fit what they can understand. So they go to the healed man a second time. They start by telling him to give glory to God. "If you were blind and now have sight, it had to come from God. So give him the glory." This man cannot have a part in godly work like healing you because he is a sinner. He made mud on the Sabbath. It's hard to even say this out loud. It's so absurd. But that is what it sounds like when we try to put Jesus into our box. When we try to explain him away with our limited understanding. We cross a dangerous line when we try to confine Jesus to our box. A couple weeks ago, we saw Nicodemus struggle to understand when Jesus spoke of being born again. It just did not fit into his box, and he could not leave the safety of his box. Last week, we saw the woman at the well be confronted by Jesus, and what he said did not fit into the box her community had built for her. But she was able to step out of that box and find her Savior. If we are honest with ourselves, I think we will find times when we retreat into our neat little boxes as well. They're limiting, but they feel safe. Newness can be a threat. It reminds us that there is a lot that we do not understand, a lot more to the story than we may feel ready to know. However, that box also limits what God can do in our lives, what he can do for others through us. God calls us, but he will not force us to answer. He invites us into his work, but we have to step beyond our line of sight. We have to step out in faith and say, Lord, I hear you. I don't understand, but I believe. Show me the way and I will follow. And when you do, God will show you the way. Realize, though, that others may push back. They will not have your vision. In the novel Revelation, Peggy Payne tells of a Presbyterian minister who experiences a theophany, that is, a God moment, a God vision. One afternoon, while grilling steaks in the backyard, he hears the voice of God speaking to him. It's a revelation. It's the kind of revelation that will change his life. He will never be the same again. The rest of the story tells the price he paid for telling of his revelation. Do the leaders of his congregation rejoice with him? Not exactly. They do provide free psychiatric care and paid administrative leave. Look at the gospel lesson again. It takes 2 verses for the miracle and 39 for the reaction. The keepers of the law cannot accept an explanation that does not fit within their scope of understanding. Has anything changed? Our mainline churches today, that includes us Lutherans, can have problems with acknowledging the power of God. Oh, sure, our God is an awesome God. He parted the Red Sea, and he caused a virgin to give birth, and he restored dead people to life. But that was in the old days. Don't expect to see things like that today, because that is not how we do church. Imagine that you're watching a movie. The scene is at a beach on a beautiful sunny day. There's a large crowd on the beach, some picnicking, some sunbathing, others tossing a ball or a frisbee, but no one is in the water. You notice a large sign just at the edge of the water that says, no swimming. You notice that there is a lifeguard on duty. Then they're screaming from the water. Someone is trying to swim despite the sign, and they are in trouble. The lifeguard doesn't move. He looks toward the drowning man and yells, you should have read the sign. Who told you to go in? Then someone jumps up from the beach, jumps in the water, and saves the person about to drown. Do you think he's treated as a hero? No, not at all. In the next scene, the lifeguard and a group of his buddies are yelling at the swimmer, "You didn't read the sign either. How dare you go into the water?" One turns to another and says, "How are we ever going to have any order in this place?" Do you choose to live under the law or under grace? Living under the law will keep you in your tight little box. It also means in the end, you lose because you're not capable of keeping the law. Living under grace means accepting full forgiveness and freedom from the confines of the law. It also means stepping out of your box, out of the script you wrote, the life you planned, and living according to God's plan for you. Most of us are familiar with the Serenity Prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Too many times we forget to use the courage to change the things I can. We forget to act, to step out, to use our talents, our time, and our treasures where God calls us to. When we are careful to remain in our blindness, we limit God's influence in our lives. Let us remember that hesitating in fear means everyone loses. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come and wash away our blindness. Enlighten our hearts and minds to see your miracles in our lives. Be the light in our world and help us accept your challenge to shine your light into the lives of those around us. Amen.